It's been said here many times. Be afraid. Be very afraid. No. You know, it doesn't surprise me. It looks like we're down a little bit in numbers today. And I'm sure that comes because Josh and Patrick called everyone and said, we're going to do a training. Be there. It's just real convenient for people not to come. But I appreciate you being here because, you know, it's really simple. It's a really simple thing that we can do, and that's just reach out and begin to tell people, if you got a need, we want to be a part of your life and we can help you. And it's really simple to do that. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd like you, just thinking about what Matthew just said a few minutes ago, would you just look at someone and say, are you that one person? Are you that one person? Are you that one person? And, you know, I think so often we think, well, that's somebody else is that one person that could change Boulder. Somebody else could change Longmont. Somebody else could change my family. I don't know. Are you that one person? You know, let me just say a couple other things as I'm here today and just have an opportunity to speak the word to you and address things of the Lord to you today. Have you ever been around someone who doesn't honor you? Been around someone who won't look you in the eye, won't shake your hand, won't talk to you, they treat you bad. Do you like to be around those kind of people?
No.
I don't. No. You know, that's. Let me just see. The greatest need that we have, not just our church, but the church in America, is we need the presence and the glory of God. But you see, I tell you something. Listen. Jordan, you taking notes back there? Or are you writing down what I'm saying, or are you playing on your phone? Good. But that's Mom's answer. I don't know that she knows. Okay. Oh, man, he's on it today. I know I am. Why do you call out for the glory of God when if he showed up, you wouldn't honor him? You want people to honor you. You want people to have good manners toward you. You want people to treat you well. And yet when God shows up, you're not going to treat him well because every Sunday morning you don't treat him well. Just a thought to think about. I'm not mad at anybody. It's just a question I have. I remember, you know, guys, and I know I'm 60. I was young and now I'm 60. David said I was young and now I'm old. But I was young and now I'm 60, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. But it is nice to be able to say a few things. And I can remember. Now, please, I'll tell the whole thing. But I remember a time in a service, people would fight for the front rows because they wanted to be as close as they could to the where God was ministering. Now, at the same time, though, I remember sitting in as far back as I could get in certain situations. But I was seeking God. I remember one time I was... Patty and I, inner court was on Saturday nights. That was years and years ago. 30 years ago. But I was also serving a pastor here in town. It was an amazing thing of favor. See, pastors don't let other pastors serve in their churches for obvious reasons because they're wolves. You know how that works? If you're a man of integrity, he knew he could entrust his congregation to me. And I remember I'd sit as far back as I could in the balcony. And I remember Patty and I were sitting as far back as we could. And I remember it was a New Year's Eve service, and the pastor came and he said, he looked at Patty and he said, he can't sit with you any longer. Come with me. And he put me on the platform. That's favor. So you can, my point is, you can hear God in the back row, Jordan, since he's as far back as we can get, hiding on the floor. Oh, yes! Yes, yes, yes! See, I like this kid. I do. But you see, most time you can't. I mean, we ought to be in our spirit sitting like this in church. All right. I was just, as we were worshiping, I was thinking, would the Lord show up here in his glory? Because how are we honoring him here? It's just a question. I remember Tracy Harris. How many of you remember Pastor Tracy? Oh, that guy. He's really something. Maybe we can have him back someday, Lord willing. You ought to hear him in his church. You think I called out Jordan? This guy, he calls out people. Shut your mouth. Sit down. Honor God. I mean, he does. And miracles just flow out of him. So I'm just giving you a pastoral encouragement today. To let's position ourselves. Say, well, I'm honoring God by being here. Yeah, well, your attitudes. Don't come with a stinky attitude. Change your attitude. And you know, it's a delight to be here. So at any rate, praise the Lord. I want the glory of God. I really want the glory of God. And I know it doesn't, I mean, he'll show up when he wants to show up, but I tell you what, if he chooses to show up, I want to be honoring him, not dishonoring him. Praise the Lord. Well, there's some things that are coming. We're going to begin the Foundation Series by Derek Prince, and we're also going to begin the Challenge by Mark Spencer. And, Nathan blessed me today. He blessed me so much. We were sitting here, we were talking about the announcements that were up there. And Lynn's been putting up a different quote out of this often. And Nathan, God, oh man, Nathan. He said to me, we were reading that, and he goes, man, that C.S. Lewis has got good stuff, doesn't he? And so I just said, oh, bless you, my son. Whoa, putting me in that kind of, whoa, I thought, oh my, I'm not worthy of it. But man, Nathan, you're one of my favorites, and that's why, I tell you. But the reason we do this, yeah, obviously he's one of your favorites too, isn't he, Gracie? Yeah, she says, yeah, it's okay. All right, I'll stop there. I'll get in trouble. But you know, one of the things we do, the Foundation Series and this four, is, of course, one of these days we'll have to do this during Sunday school hour. But you know, we don't have a Sunday school hour. We don't have enough people to have a Sunday school hour, really. And so that day will come when these classes will be taught then. But what we do with these two classes is anyone who wants any kind of leadership in the church, any kind of ministry in the church, really needs to take these two courses. And we have all the written stuff as well. It's part of our Bible school that we hope this year will get more and more geared up. But those are two foundational classes so that you know the basics of the doctrine of the church. Derek Prince teaches that. You can go online, matter of fact, and get that. You wanted to watch it. It's very, very good. And those of us who will be teaching it won't teach it quite like Derek teaches it, but we'll do our best, okay? And then the challenge is what we've taught for years and years are just the basics of how we walk with the Lord and how we, you know, as a church, what our vision is and what our passion is, and you'll find it in that book. And so if you don't have a copy, I encourage you to get it. And it is a life-changing book. Amen. 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 I've had people read it and say, man, it was like Rees-Howell's Intercessor. Pushed every button I have. And it will. It will push every button that you've got. But that's good, because if we push them now, they won't get pushed when you get to heaven. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, would you pray with me that prayer that the Lord taught his disciples? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have a Bible, if you'd open it with me, please, to the book of Psalms. And while you're turning there, could you say 400? It's all right. Matthew, would you pick up my 400, please? Psalm 42. I want everybody to see that. There we go. Psalm 42. As a deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? You know, maybe your body is saying, where is your healer? Maybe your finances are saying, where is your provider? Maybe your relationships are saying, where is God? When I remembered these things, I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember you from the land of Jordan and from the Hermons and from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterspouts. Let me just say to you today, I believe there's a cry of the human heart. I believe every person has this cry. I believe that there is this longing within the soul of every man, every woman, and even every boy and girl. God, they want to know God. There is a crying, a longing. Now, what we do in life is this, is we allow life to so beat us down that what happens is that cry, we begin to muffle that cry. And we muffle that cry by alcohol or by drugs or by food or by excessive hobbies or pornography or novels. Or we bury our lives in all sorts of things. The CEO may do it by his work. A wife may do it by her plunging her life into her children and not giving any time to her husband or to whatever it might be. There's a number of ways that this cry, we dampen it and we muffle it. But nevertheless, the cry of the human heart is to see God and to know God and to experience God. Matter of fact, that's the only way it could be, because God made us for himself. And apart from him, there is no peace. There is no satisfaction ultimately. There is no purpose apart from him. And so we have this cry of the human heart. And years ago, I taught this, and it's in one of my books somewhere. Don't know which book it is. I'd have to think about it for a moment, but probably Intercession. But if I said faithful, 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 what would you say?
Praise.
Some of you read the book. Some of you heard the message. And in that teaching on faithfulness and being faithful and being faithful and being faithful, I went to Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 8 and talked about prayer bowls in heaven. Now, having been to Nepal, and if you go to Nepal or India, you'll often find prayer bowls. And prayer bowls, I was thinking about bringing one today, but it would be a distraction because that's not the message. Now, these prayer bowls that you see in Eastern religions are bowls that they hit, or they're musical bowls. They're beautiful, amazing bowls. And but it's not quite the same thing. See, they're using these bowls as a form of prayer. And what we're talking about in the scripture is that there are literal bowls in heaven, as you read Revelation 5 and 8, that are filled with the prayers of the saints. Now, these are different prayers than the prayer of faith, where I pray the faith of God's in me, the word of God's in me, and I pray that prayer. I pray it one time, never need to pray it again. These are prayers of intercession, and it says when that bowl gets full, the Lord sends an angel, he puts incense in there, he puts fire in there, and that fire is released onto the earth. That's the answer to prayer. And some prayer bowls, it just takes a lot of prayer, a lot of intercession, a lot of faithfulness to get that prayer bowl full before God will release it onto the earth. And it's like this prayer that I've been in the middle of, and that is the praying for the season of Aaron's rod. I believe that's a prayer. It may not get answered until Jesus comes back, but it's one of those prayers that I'm doing my best to get that thing full. I know some of you are as well, because it is Israel's defense, and it is the glory of the church being released in the earth. This is what we're praying about. And out of that teaching, anyway, the Lord gave me a phrase that will be in the right place, at the right time, in the right faith frame of mind. And so what we're going to do today, turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and it's a favorite verse when we start talking about the return of the Lord and his coming and that thing which is holding him back. And he says in chapter 3, verse 17, verse 21, just save some time. It says, heaven must receive, or heaven must hold Jesus until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of the holy prophet. So, Peter's preaching, and he says that God is going to hold Jesus in heaven until the time of restitution of all things. And sometimes I look at the church in America, and I think, man, we are not the New Testament church. But I believe God is going to restore the New Testament church. Now, the word restoration, it means reconstitution. It's like if you got some dried mushrooms and you wanted to make a soup out of them, or some maybe dried chilies, and what you'd have to do is you'd have to put them in water, reconstitute them before you cooked them. And the word also means restitution. And now listen to this. Strong's Concordance says restitution, this word restoration, means restitution in various senses of place, time, or relation. Right place, right time, right faith frame of mind. God wants to restore. It also carries, this is what Strong said, it also carries the meaning of a reversal. Can anybody say, curse, reverse? Matthew's been teaching on the curse and the blessing, and I've been teaching on the curse and the blessing. Guys, if there's a curse operating in your life, it steals your joy, it steals your passion, it steals your vision, it steals your family, it steals your health, it steals all these things, and God says, I'm going to restore things, curse, reverse. I need some areas in my life to have the curse reversed, not just done away with. Because you see, it's like that peach we talked about, that once you take that thing and take it off the tree, it begins to corrupt. You cannot stop it. You can slow it down by putting it in a refrigerator, but it is going to be utterly, completely corrupted. And there's areas in my life and in your life as well where we not only need the curse to stop, but we need a reversal. And only God can do that. Thank God he can do that. He's the only one who can do it, but he can and he wants to. Oh, we better say that one more time. Curse, reverse. And I don't know, sometimes it's good for me just to do things like this. Curse, reverse. You know, if I had my car here right now, I'd lay hands on it. So today I have three words we're going to look at. from three different languages. And boy, yeah, aren't we being studious and academic today? I'm not even sure I'm going to say the words right, but that's okay. The first word, and Patty taught on this, but we're going to talk about the homocomb. The homocomb for just a minute. We're going to be in the right place at the right time, in the right faith frame of mind. The homocomb is that place of God's choosing. It is the right place. It is the place of God's purpose. It is the place of God's counsel for your life. It is that place that God has chosen. You know, the Lord said He chose to put His name in Jerusalem. It's where His name is. It's in Jerusalem. It's the place of His choosing. Now, it's not just a place. I think a lot of Christians just live their lives and they have a place. But they don't have the place. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, the Lord sets us within the body. It's His choice. It's His choosing what church you go to. And it does matter what church you go to. It can mean life and death. The place of God's choosing. You know, I just see so many people with wandering hearts. You remember, let's go back in history and go back beyond history, back into the eons of eternity, I guess. And we don't know when this took place. But there was a being created as a worship leader. His name was Lucifer. Now, we know from some of the prophetic writings in the Old Testament and some in Revelation, we see that these same kinds of beings, some call them seraphim, whatever, but these beings are continually before the throne of God, continually worshiping God with their six wings, hovering and worshiping God. And what are they saying continually? Holy, holy, holy. You see, they're constantly before God. That is their homocomb. That is their place. That is the calling and the purpose of God for those beings. The homocomb. You have a calling. You have a place. You have a place in your family. And if you don't have a family, you have a place in this family. You have a place in the church. You have a place of in the kingdom of God. Now, we know what happened to Lucifer, and I won't go through all of that. You'll find it in Ezekiel and Isaiah, the story about what happened to him as he began to contemplate his own beauty and his own goodness and his own greatness and his own whatever. How'd that work out for him? The scripture says a fire from inside consumed him. And then we read then back in history, the first book of the Bible, not Genesis, but the first written book would be Job. And by the way, I hope you've all made friends with Job. I told Patty this week, I said, man, I've been reading, I guess, through Judges, and I said, man, I finally made peace with Job, but I tell you, that's Samson. I haven't made peace with that guy at all. I just haven't made peace with him. I'll get there, but I just haven't struggled with that man. But at any rate, if you look at Job, we get a picture of the devil now. And what did it say? The Lord says, well, Satan, where have you been? And what was his response? He said, I was running to and fro across the earth. You see, he left his place. He left his homocomb. He left that place of purpose and passion for God. And he left it. And now he wanders back and forth.
See, when you don't have your homicomb, when you don't have that place of peace with Christ and God, your life is just like this. You remember some of you years ago, the polar bear down at the Denver Zoo, bless that poor thing's heart. It would go like this all day long. This all it would do, and I was so sad to watch it. It paced back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. This was years ago, but I tell you, that poor bear, I always felt so sorry, but that's what it was. And that's what the devil's doing right now. There's no peace. He has no peace. And that's, I see Christians like this. Go here, go there, do this, go that. No peace in their hearts, no peace in their hearts. You've got to find your homicomb. Just take a deep breath. Oh, that you might find your place of rest. You might find your place in the heart of God. Oh, that you might be able to say Psalm 91, not just as a rote bunch of words, but I've found the shelter of the Most High. His wings cover me. Oh, the Bible says the nations are raging, and it talks about the waves and the sea being tossed into. I tell you guys, this world is nuts, and it's getting nuttier every day. But you and I can have a homicomb, a place in the right place. I'm going to be in the right place. I'm going to be in the right place. My prayer is for you that you'll be in the right place. In the right place, in the right place, the homicomb. Now let's go to our next word. And it's a Greek word. The first one was a Hebrew word. The next one now is a Greek word, and it's kairos. Now there's two words in the scripture for time, and the first one is kairos, the next one is chronos. Okay, and so chronos is that space of time. We live in chronos. We live in time. But the kairos is that fixed or special occasion. It's an opportunity. It's a due season. It is typically a short period of time. And I like to describe it this way. It is when heaven and eternity touch me in time. Now, we could say this. I think it's Psalm 102, verse 13. It's that verse that I was praying for Israel when the Lord said to me, pray for the season of Aaron's rod. He said this, the set time to favor Israel has come. A set time, not time, a set time. Israel has set appointments with God every year. We're coming to Passover soon. It's a set time. Matter of fact, we're all going to experience, if you're a Christian, you get to heaven, we're going to have Passover. We're going to have tabernacles. We're going to have Pentecost. You're going to celebrate these things in heaven. They're perpetual feasts. They are appointments that God says, I have with you. Some of you have yet to have your first appointment with Christ. You've not given your heart to Christ. And He has an appointment with you. He has a specific time and He's ready now. And the scripture says this, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You must receive Christ today, now, because He does not promise you tomorrow. But there is a kairos moment when you can have. I tell you, I'm going to be in the right place. I'm going to be in the right time. You know, how about this? Scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, 8, 9, it talks about sowing your seed. It talks about not growing weary in sowing your seed. Because what? Because you will reap when? In due season. You will reap in that kairos moment. You'll reap. God knows when it's harvest time in your life. Now, your harvest time might be different than my harvest time. Some of you who are just learning to live a life of giving, a life of sowing and reaping, you might be planting, and sometimes God gives those beginners a real quick harvest. But I tell you what, there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have to learn how to sow faithfully. Faithfully, faithfully. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your whole life. Sowing faithfully, living righteously, uncompromisingly righteous is what that declaration we make. Faithful. And He says, in due season, you will reap. There is a moment God has already chosen to release His harvest into your life. just like the hastening of the Lord by our godly lives and by our sharing the gospel. So I believe we can hasten these moments of harvest if we'll just continue faithful and put faith on and pressure. And how about this? Oh my. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says this, "Judge nothing before the time." You know why you shouldn't judge people? Because it's not time. God's not done with me yet. You start judging me before the time, and what happens is you make a false judgment. So don't judge before the time. Don't judge me. Don't judge somebody else. And listen, don't you judge our 400 before the time. See what I'm saying? Don't judge circumstances before the time. Because if you judge the circumstance before the time, you're going to end up on the wrong side of the judgment. Now, these Kairos events, this is something we've got to understand. And we've all missed them. You see, these Kairos events are like windows. I know we're walking through time. It's linear to us, and we're walking through time. You can't get back tomorrow or yesterday, and we can't reach out into tomorrow. We have to live right here. And so what happens is we're walking along in this linear thing called time. When God has a Kairos event, let's say that table is God's Kairos event for me. If I'm, you know, la-la land, and I'm not spiritually attuned, I'm not spiritually aware, if I'm not ready, what happens is I simply walk by my Kairos event. Because you see, it's a window of eternity into my time. And if I'm not ready for that moment, if I'm not ready for that time, if I'm not expecting that accepted time, I'll walk right by it, blind to the fact that God had a divine appointment waiting me. Matthew could have missed that divine appointment yesterday in Staples office store, if he'd not been ready. He saw it, he talked, he said something. You know, be very, very practical. I was in a home improvement store, and I didn't have this with me. And I was getting something, and a lady was talking, and she was talking about her flood recovery, and I just went, ugh. And then I thought, I got to get this thing, and when I did, she was gone. I missed a Kairos moment. See? So you have to be ready. The Apostle Peter's epistle says that we're to be ready in season and out to give a reason for the hope that's within us. Because if we're not ready, we miss the Kairos event. Yeah. You know, years ago, and maybe some of you haven't heard this story, but years ago I was a college student. I was teaching a college class here at that building right back there when it was in a different church. And baptized in the Holy Spirit, and boy, we were having all sorts of fun. And I was in a meeting once, and one of the elders was there. Now, you have to understand, this church didn't believe in miracles. I find it interesting that just hundreds of tithers of charismatic Pentecostal churches have ended up in that church. Can't operate in their gifts, but they're tithers. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's true. But I remember I was all, oh man, and the Lord said, pray for that elder. I want to heal his leg. And I went, oh, no. No, they don't believe in this. And so I didn't. And I, of course, you know, that just haunted me. How many of you know when you disobey God, it'll haunt you? Said, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. So I began to pray, Jesus, I need a second chance. And, of course, some of my good Baptist brothers had taught me, well, you know what? You miss God, and that's the way it is. And, you know, that's it, too bad. And, oh, God, you know. And he doesn't heal animals, and he won't heal people. And he goes, okay, fine, whatever. I start praying. I didn't know any better. See, nobody taught me the doctrine yet. Oh, God, I need a second chance. So I was at a meeting, and this guy, he was a full gospel businessman's meeting. And this guy showed up at that meeting. He walked in the door and I went, second chance, second chance, second chance. Because now it's not in that building where they kicked me out. But now he was on our turf. You know, charismatics always in the back. We were in one of these restaurants in the back room. Because that's where they put us, you know. He walked in. I said, glory to God. I said, God wants to heal your leg. Prayed for him. God healed the man. He later got baptized in the Holy Ghost himself and had to leave the church because of the left foot of fellowship. Along with me.
Amen.
It was... Been there, done that, huh? Praise God. Well, hallelujah. We just walk in love anyway, right? Amen. Amen. So, the right place at the right time. My third word. Right place, right time, the right faith frame of mind. Now, this might be a stretch, but you just have to go with me. And I hope I can get the point across. We've talked about a Hebrew word and we've talked about a Greek word. And now we're going to go back and talk about that Hawaiian word. Book the tickets, baby. No. Patty says, yes, okay. I heard him in front of witnesses. Okay. The right faith frame of mind. The Hawaiian word, of course, is aloha. And God breathed that ha into Adam. If you're close to somebody that you're sitting with, you could do this if you wanted to, just kind of. Forehead to forehead. Patty, come up. Come on up. Now, you can get away with this with your wife on the street, but I don't recommend that you do it with guys on the street. Ha! All right. Say, that is what aloha is. The Hawaiian people believe that it was a face-to-face, that's how, that was their greeting. Face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, nostril-to-nostril, mouth-to-mouth. Ha! It was a breath of life. They were exchanging life with one another. And, of course, it's disintegrated and it's become, I mean, it's still a wonderful word. Aloha, peace, love, joy, you know, whatever. But greetings, goodbye. I mean, you know, and it still carries all that. But it originally meant life. And, of course, where do you think they got that? Duh. You know. And so we have this whole picture. And you say, what's that got to do with having the right faith frame of mind? Everything. You see, guys, when God breathed into Adam, what was Adam at that moment? He was dust, but he was this lump of clay, mold, you know, and clay to be workable has to have moisture in it, and we understand all that. So God made this bag of clay, formed it, fashioned it in his own likeness, got down there just like the prophet did over that dead boy, but he looked into Adam's eyes and he breathed, ha! He breathed his life into, and actually that word, the root, it's a Hebrew word. Now we're back to Hebrew word. It's the ruach. It's the breath of God. And it doesn't mean a little. It means a forceful breath. Like you would do if someone needed artificial respiration. Thank you. I've got to be careful. I'll get in trouble with that word. Artificial respiration. You go. No. There's got to be a force there. And that's what God did. A force of life from himself into that clay produced Adam. Now, this has everything to do with having the right faith frame of mind. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word of God. And so it's the word of Christ as he speaks that ruach, that breath of life, that aloha into us. I tell you what, all you need is that revelation of God. Peter's standing there and Jesus said, well, who do you say I'm? He said, you are the Messiah. And Jesus said, who did you get that from? You got that from my Father. The whole circumstance changes, see? Your frame of mind changes when you have the aloha, when you have the ruach of God, when you've heard from heaven, when you know what God has said as he's taken his word to you, either from off of the pages of Scripture or he's spoken into your spirit, and you hear the ruach, you hear the aloha, you hear the power, the life of God floods into you, and one moment what was impossible is now made possible. I can be in the right place, at the right time, in the right faith frame of mind. The honeycomb, the kairos, and the aloha. Now, we get the word inspiration, we get the word enthusiasm. It all ties in with revelation and this whole aloha. You see, because when you hear God speak into your heart, it brings inspiration, it brings enthusiasm, and I won't get into the meanings of those words. Go look them up in a dictionary and you'll be surprised what the definitions of inspiration and enthusiasm are if you don't know already. Being in God, being inspired by God. And that's what this ruach is. That's what this aloha is. It is the very life and breath of God, the Zoe, life of God, being infused into your spirit and into your soul. And I tell you, I just see too many Christians who all you are, and I've been there myself, is all you are is a bunch of wet clay moving around. You have no inspiration. You have no life. You have no passion. You have no purpose but to just get through your next day. You need the aloha. Amen. You need the aloha. Oh, it's my prayer. I know what the aloha does. The aloha changes you. The aloha impassions you. I tell you what, I know what the kairos is. When you just find yourself at the right place, at the right moment, and you're going, I'm the right guy. I was standing in those foothills in Nepal. I'm the only white guy around. They'd never had another white guy. Those kids looking at me. I was like a rock star. I was, this old man. Kids wanting their picture taken with me. They did. We're taking selfies. I was the rock star. I tell you, I was the right man in the right place at the right time, and I knew it. And I preached like it. And God met us. See, guys, there is a right time and a place for you, and there is that word of God that you're the only one who carries that word of God. And it's for that people. I'm going to be in the right place, at the right time, in the right faith frame of mind. Amen? I'd like you just to say that out loud. I'm going to be in the right place, at the right time, in the right faith frame of mind. Let's practice those words. The honeycomb, the kairos, and the aloha. You got it. Amen. Father, I pray for this great congregation. Every one of them. No one excluded today. Father, I'm asking. Lord, we declared this morning, we began the service by saying, Lord, give us a favor. Father, I'm asking for a favor for my friends today. That, Father, they might find themselves more and more in the right place at the right time in the right faith frame of mind. That, Father God, they would find themselves in that honeycomb. They would find themselves no longer needlessly wandering back and forth from this to that to the other thing. But Father, they would be purposed and their lives would have direction. And they would find their heart at rest in you first, and then among your people. The homicome. I pray, Father, for divine appointments. I pray for due seasons. I pray for kairos events. That, Father, we would find ourselves just happening in to being the person at the moment where the time of God, eternity, touches this life that we're living. And, Father, we would find ourselves the person with the Word of God ready to minister life to those around us. From our prayer life, Father, might we find ourselves praying what you're praying. Having a kairos moment with you. But then, Father, let it spill over into kairos events with men and women and boys and girls. That we're the messenger of God bringing and delivering their kairos moment. Then, Father, I pray that we hunger and thirst for that aloha. That, Father, we long and we cry out, oh God, for that face-to-face encounter with you. That, Lord, we wouldn't go years and years or decades without that encounter. But, Father, I pray. Lord, I know in the Word it says there's times there was a famine of the Word of the Lord. But, Father, I'm praying that you break the famine of the Word of the Lord. And that, Father, we would begin to hear with expediency and regularity, Father God, the Word of the Lord coming. And not with just little things that, Father God, could come to pass or not, and we'd never know. But Father, I pray the Word of the Lord would come with such force and would come with such power that, Father God, when we even speak out that ha, that, Father God, the answer would immediately be following up quickly, that confirming. I remember your word, Lord, to the prophet Samuel. You said his words did not fall to the ground. Father, we confess we've so often said, oh, the Word of the Lord, oh, the Word of the Lord, but they all fell to the ground. I pray, Father, the aloha. I pray for the aloha would come with such force and such power. The ruach of God, the breath of God, the life of God so flow that, Father God, over this people, that, Father God, when they say, I've heard from the Lord, that, Father, you would be pleased to confirm and establish that word because, in fact, they have heard from you. So, Father, I'm blessing this church today with the right place at the right time and the right faith frame of mind. I'm blessing them today with the homicome. I'm blessing them with the kairos events. I'm blessing them, Father God, with the aloha. And Father, I thank you right now. That's right, two or three of you are receiving it. All of you ought to be receiving it. Father, I receive the aloha. I receive the homicome. I receive, oh God, I receive the kairos events. And I thank you for it. I give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, did you get something?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.